The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, congratulations on the 41st anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Brother Muhammad Asi. He's going to talk about the Islamic Revolution.
Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Islamic Revolution took place in a country that more or less is like Saudi Arabia today. The Iran of the Shah is like Saudi Arabia today in many respects. It's not identical, obviously, but in many respects, that's what it was. The Shah was a stooge of imperialism. He was a functionary of Zionism. He'd take orders without questions from his masters and superiors in Tel Aviv and in Washington. Iran was a society that was not, during the time of the Shah, was not in the strict meaning of the word, was not an Islamic society. We're talking about Muslims, but there's no social Islamic social structure to them, as is the case in Saudi Arabia today. Saudi Arabia today is the same thing. You have Muslims as individuals, maybe 20 million or so of them, but there is no Islamic social structure to them. They hide behind a penal system. They say they apply Sharia. This is one of the technical differences between the Shah of Iran and the Arabia of Salman, the current king. The current king and his extended family, they hide behind the propaganda that they are applying Islamic legal code, the Sharia. They apply it to whom? The poor Ethiopian, the poor Bengali, the poor African, the poor Asian, whose crime it is to try to look for some sustenance for their families. Oh, they've stole something, so let's chop off their hands. Or someone is guilty of sorcery, let's behead them. The legal penalty for a magician in Saudi Arabia is to have him go to Chop Chop Square. And the rest of this stuff that they hide behind. This wasn't the case with the Shah. The Shah was not hiding behind anything. So let's not get fooled here with a mask, with a type of official legal mask that the Saudi ruling family is hiding behind. In the real sense of the word, Iran during the time of the Shah was an American protectorate. And Saudi Arabia today is an American protectorate. There are, and this right now seems to be one of these areas the media is avoiding. No one will tell you. Read as much as you want to read. Tune in as much as you want to tune in. You're not going to find or hear or listen to or watch anyone saying that the number of American bases in Arabia is such and such as classified information. A simple thing like that has become classified information. How many troops, imperialist, pro-Zionist troops, are stationed in and around the Arabian Peninsula, reminiscent of what Iran during the time of the Shah was. But during the time of the Shah, it wasn't classified information. Today, it is classified information. So there is a change that has happened in the mental atmospherics. Someone is feeling cornered, so they're hiding information. Why hide that information? I mean, what's wrong? You're hiding your military bases from public attention? Are you afraid of something? If the policies of the United States towards the Muslim peoples, if these policies were honest and they were not an outcome of Zionist priorities, we'd know this, everyone would know this. It would be common information. It would be common sense. Saudi Arabia is a very good barometer for Muslims to see, especially Muslims who identify with the Islamic change and orientation in Iran, for them to see what was 37 or 38 years ago before the revolution and what is today. Take these two just as examples. Saudi Arabia. I've come across some people, unfortunately, some of them, you wouldn't expect them to say or to express these types of things, but they say, I think Iran would have been better off if they just went along with the tide, meaning we shouldn't rock any boat. We should not be breaking new grounds. We should not be carrying the load of others. This is how some of them express it. Of course, it's not true the way they are expressing it. That's not the case. The Islamic revolution in Iran, as I personally understand it, has come from a fermentation of almost 14 centuries of an Islamic consciousness. It just didn't happen like that overnight. And it is something like a trust, an amana, or amanat, as some of you would say. That's what it is. If you are true to your Islamic identity, your Islamic history, your Islamic conviction, you wouldn't be saying, why should I be put in this position today? What do you want to be, like Saudi Arabia? You want to be a second fiddle to the policies of imperialism and Zionism? Is that what you want to be? Is that what your Islam demands of you? Is that how you understand your Iman? This wasn't an easy success. Along the way, in these years, there was a high price to pay, and it was paid with honor.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.